Morning, counsel. We are here for a solo argument setting today. It is Fisher versus BMW, case number 20-1399. Ms. Fisher, when you're prepared to begin, please do so.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good morning. May it please the court, Jennifer Fisher for the appellant. On or about January 14th of 2016, Appellant Fisher was changing the front tire on the passenger side of a 2003 BMW sedan. The vehicle came equipped with a tire jack, and the use of that tire jack was meant to be used in tandem with the vehicle to change a tire. In changing the tire, Appellant Fisher placed the jack on the right passenger side jacking point, as was designed and instructed by the vehicle's owner's manual. That is the subject jack that we are here to talk about today. As Mr. Fisher was changing the tire and the vehicle was lifted, the jack tipped over, which caused the vehicle to suddenly drop and to pin Appellant Fisher's hand, his finger specifically, between the lug wrench and the asphalt. The tip over of the jack caused permanent injuries to Appellant Fisher. He suffered involuntary amputation of part of his finger, his right middle finger on his right hand, excuse me. Appellant retained Dr. Aaron Lally to provide an expert opinion in this matter as to the design defects of the jack and as to the cause of Appellant's injuries. BMW does not dispute that Dr. Lally is qualified in the field of engineering. He holds a bachelor's, a master's, and a PhD in mechanical engineering from the South Dakota School of Mines. He teaches in the area of mechanical engineering, and he has work experience in this area prior to teaching. Dr. Lally offered opinions about the design defects of the subject tire jack and the cause of Appellant's injuries. He used his background, knowledge, education, and training as a mechanical engineer to come to these opinions. The district court excluded these opinions, and we're on appeal here today with respect to that order.
Let me just clarify what opinions we're talking about.
Yes.
The first is his instability opinion. Is that correct? The design defect of instability?
Yes. The way that BMW framed it in their motion was a little different than the way that the court entered its order. The court entered its order in that I'm appealing the order that the opinion was not factually supported, that Dr. Lally's opinion was not factually supported.
His opinion on instability?
His opinion. Yes.
On the okay. Instability. And then the second opinion that you're appealing is the design defect caused the jack to fall. And I think you've conceded in your briefing that if we were to agree with the district court on the first opinion, that the second would also fall.
Yes, okay. I would agree. That's true.
Okay. And then the third opinion is that the jack's design team compromised safety in the interest of cost and space.
Yes.
Okay. I just want to make sure I knew exactly what we're talking
yes.
about.
Yes. And if I could, with respect to the opinion as to the instability of the jack, it's twofold. One, that it was not factually supported, and two, that the methodology was not reliable. So I'll be addressing both of those kind of subsections.
Okay.
Okay. So with respect to first, that the opinion of the instability was not factually supported. Actually, let me backtrack. Dr. Lally primarily opined that the relatively small base of the BMW jack means that the force and displacement required for the BMW jack to tip over was half of that of a typical design jack. He reached this conclusion by applying a formula of torque. He showed that in his diagrams, and he looked at the forces that were applied to an object here, the car jack, and compared that subject BMW jack to two exemplar jacks. The district court found that that opinion was not factually supported. The court's order that opinion was not factually supported is an error. The court made a finding that he could not find support in the record for the 1,000-pound figure that was used by Dr. Lally in that formula. I'll note that this point was not raised by the by BMW, all of the parties understood that this 1,000-pound amount that was used in the formula was a quarter of the car's weight.
So the district court is correct that that was not explained in, if you just look at Dr. Lawley's opinion.
I think that it was understood between the parties. It was not raised by BMW. It was addressed in the rebuttal report. So whether
in Mr. Jones or Dr. Jones's report, correct?
James? Yes. It's okay. Dr. James, I believe.
Okay.
Yes. So the information was in the record. It was overlooked by the trial court. And I would note.
Can I clarify that?
Of course.
What you're saying is that he relied on the 1,000-pound estimate, basically, or that was just the fact that he used, or the amount that he used, but that there's no basis in the record for that reliance other than BMW's rebuttal expert, who said that he assumed the 1,000-pound.
Well, I don't know.
I mean, I find that kind of, I mean, again, that means there's no basis in the record if you're relying on what BMW's rebuttal expert said your expert assumed.
I don't believe it's an assumption. It says to estimate a weight on the jack of 1,000 pounds, and it relies on the fact that only one tire is being propped up. So it's a quarter of the weight of the car.
But it never says it's a quarter of the weight of the car.
No.
I would agree with that point, but I think that the narrative portion talks about what part is being propped up, how much is on the jack, and that it's one tire being changed. So that one tire is sort of a known quarter, that there are four tires on a car. I would say the second part is the part that the trial court relies on, which I would say is the second subpart of that instability, is that the methodology was not proper. And I would,
and you said he used a torque methodology, but what the, as I read the district court's opinion, its concern was that there was no attempt to explain the methodology, the math to explain how his math related to scientific principles, or that it was generally recognized in the scientific community that this is how you do this.
Yes. So I would argue that their general that the concept of torque is a general physics property, and that he applied that, and that he didn't do it in complete narrative form, but he did it in diagram form. He showed that the forces that were being applied to the object. He showed the lever arm, which is the second piece of a torque analysis, which is the distance that the force is being applied from, here in the 13 inches height. So with respect to showing his work, it was done in those diagram forms. It showed the forces that were being applied, the direction that the forces were being applied in, and how far the force was being applied from. The concept of torque is a generally understood physics proper principle, and it's one that's similar to like gravity. Right.
But an expert can't just say, I relied on gravity to reach my opinion. The expert has to take the concept of gravity and explain in detail how that has been applied here, and then convince the trier of fact, or the court that's considering whether it comes in, that this use of the principle of gravity is generally recognized as a way in which to reach the conclusion he reached.
Well, I would argue that with respect to torque, he did that with his diagrams.
Well, I'm looking at the diagram right now, and there's not a single number in there. There's just arrows with text.
Right. And then so that he's showing the different forces that are being applied on the object. And then with respect to it's read in connection with the comparison graph.
Well, and I guess the point with the comparisons is just because this jack is different doesn't mean it's defective. And there seems to be almost an assumption by your expert, if this jack is different, it therefore must be defective.
I think that the remainder of his opinion talks about how the lateral force required to tip this jack in comparison with the others makes the jack easier to tip over when lateral forces are applied in applying the torque here in changing the tire and in tightening the lug nut, the lug wrench. So I think that there are several parts to his report that have to be read in conjunction with each other. So I believe that is there.
Is the problem that we're sort of in uncharted waters here as far as jacks in particular, and that I don't think that there's any industry testing that's been offered, and certainly the expert here did not go beyond the sort of theoretical as you're describing with the mathematical and the torque and so forth with actual tests on jacks to see if the suppositions actually bear out. Would that probably have satisfied the district court? Why shouldn't we require that?
I think here that the concept of torque is a concept applied to all objects. To require specificity as to a car jack is going too far. The concept that when you apply rotational force to an object that is going to tip over at some point is a principle that's equal to all objects, that the idea that is a car jack doesn't somehow make that rotational force or application of that principle different from a car jack to another, you know, a screw or something else that would require rotational force. So I think that specificity is something that hasn't been shown to be required as to this general principle.
The standard of review for us is abuse of discretion, isn't it?
It is, with respect to whether the methodology was proper.
Right. You also argue that the court didn't perform a Daubert analysis at all. And that, of course, is de novo. But, you know, I'm looking at a 17-page decision from the district court, and I have a hard time concluding that the district court didn't make a good faith attempt to apply Daubert.
Well, I did argue in the alternative. I believe that the sort of missing of that 1,000 pounds was in the record was an oversight by the trial court, but I do argue in the alternative the abuse of discretion. So I acknowledge that the court might make that finding that the court did perform its Daubert analysis. I see my time running out, so I'm just going to jump to the last part, is that if the court does reverse on the methodology question, that I would request that would also require reversal on the summary judgment order that was entered by the court, which was basically reliant on the order that struck the expert. And I will, if I may, I'd reserve the remaining time for rebuttal.
Very well.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Garnett.
Thank you, Your Honor. Andrew Garnett appearing this morning on behalf of Appellee BMW of North America, and may it please the court. This is not a borderline case. The district court did not abuse its discretion when it granted BMW's motion to exclude Dr. Lally's expert opinions pursuant to Rule 702 of the Federal Rules of Evidence and the Daubert factors. Additionally, the district court did not err in granting BMW's motion for summary judgment. As a threshold matter, the court did properly perform its gatekeeper function. As Judge McHugh pointed out, it issued a 17-page order highlighting Rule 702, articulating the Daubert factors, and articulating which of those factors it based its exclusion of Dr. Lally's expert opinions on. And I want to talk about four of those factors that are not in dispute, because it is not in dispute, first, that Dr. Lally performed no testing of any kind on the subject Jack, despite having the subject Jack for several months, having access to the subject vehicle, and taking both the subject Jack and the subject vehicle to the incident location. He simply chose...
Our case law doesn't require testing, does it?
It does not require testing, except in a situation just like this, where the formula or where the opinion is a novel theory. And as the court pointed out, and I don't think anybody, and I think Judge Phillips alluded to this, can argue that this is not a novel theory. The three other uncontested factors are Dr. Lally provides no independent literature or evidence or information that this formula is appropriate for measuring the stability of Jack's. He provides no independent information or independent literature to demonstrate that this formula is standard or accepted by experts in the automotive field. And it's not in contention that he doesn't provide any literature or independent information that this formula has a reliable and scientific basis as applied to Jack's. And that establishes that it is a novel formula. And that highlights the necessity to test this formula, to test Dr. Lally's opinion, to demonstrate its reliability, because that is ultimately Mr. Fisher and Dr. Lally's burden. And that was not met in this case. And it was not an abuse of discretion just on those four uncontested factors for the district court to make the conclusion that Dr. Lally did not meet the reliability threshold under Daubert and Rule 702. And I
the concept of torque is generally accepted, isn't it?
Correct. And Judge McHugh, I think you highlighted the district court's issue with the general engineering principle piece and the argument by Dr. Lally that he used his general engineering principles to establish the reliability of his formula. But the issue is, it's not the fact that this jack can tip over, right? It's not the fact that, or the vehicle can tip off of the jack. It's not the fact that torque exists. It's where is the general engineering principle guiding the static inputs that Dr. Lally used in his novel formula? Where's the guiding principle or the guiding general engineering principle that says, use the measurement of the width of the base of the jack. Add that to the measurement of the top of the jack. Divide that by two. Multiply that by a fraction, an arbitrary fraction of the weight of the vehicle. Divide that further by an arbitrary length or extension of the jack itself. There is no connection between any general engineering principle and those static inputs in Dr. Lally's mathematical formula. And that was not an abuse of discretion from the court. The court did not misunderstand Dr. Lally's formula. The 1,000 pounds and where it came from was not the issue, as the court pointed out. More importantly, Dr. Lally hadn't established the reliability of his formula. And I actually don't think that the district court's order and opinion excluding Dr. Lally's stability opinion was based on a factual basis issue. The court highlighted that Dr. Lally had not met his reliability, he had not demonstrated the reliability of his methodology. And then it notes at the end of that section that because it is excluding Dr. Lally's opinion as unreliable, it did not get to BMW's alternative arguments, which exist and which are that it is factually unsupported, doesn't fit the case, and is therefore irrelevant. Because that is another basis by which the court could have excluded his opinion, because his opinion at its core is that the jack can withstand 121 pounds of lateral force under specific use conditions. However, there's no evidence that a force anywhere close to 121 pounds was applied in this case. Dr. Lally testified that if someone were to follow the owner manual's instructions, Dr. Lally did not expect a person to apply more than 50 pounds of lateral force to the jack. Mr. Fisher testified under oath that he did follow the owner manual's instructions, except he did not use the chock as instructed and as was provided with the vehicle. And when Dr. Lally was asked, well, how much force was applied at the time of this incident? He said, I don't know. But he then speculated and guessed that at most it was 10 to 20 pounds of lateral force. And that demonstrates that this opinion, even if it were deemed reliable, which I submit it is not, it's irrelevant because it wouldn't assist the trier of fact, because there's no evidence that a force anywhere close to 121 pounds was applied in this case.
Where does the lateral force come from? Is that turning the lug wrench, or is that the weight of the vehicle?
It can come from a variety of factors. It can come from pushing on the vehicle. It can come from leaning on the vehicle. It can come from putting a tire or an object in the vehicle. It can come from torquing the jack. So it can come from any number of places, but the emphasis is that there is no evidence of any force anywhere close to that being applied at the time of the incident.
Well, the jack tipped over.
Well, correct, but we'll get to that in a moment, because the causation piece is not simply that because the design defect opinion was excluded, the causation opinion was excluded. That is true. But the district court also, citing the Bittler case, highlighted that Dr. Lally's causation opinion was unreliable because he didn't perform his required differential diagnosis. And that, therefore, didn't meet the Daubert factors and the Daubert requirements for the causation opinion itself, because he needed, under a differential diagnosis, to identify other potential causes, demonstrate that those other potential causes are unlikely, and then demonstrate the cause that he is putting forth, that the design defect caused Mr. Fisher's injuries, is highly probable. We don't have any, and it's uncontested. It's not even discussed in the opening brief. It's barely touched on in a case that's provided by Fisher actually supports BMW in its reply brief. There is no discussion of any alternative cause. There's no demonstration that those other alternative causes are potentially are unlikely. And then there's no demonstration that the cause of Dr. Lally's causation opinion is highly probable. And that is a fatal element to Dr. Lally's causation opinion. And each of the claims that Mr. Fisher is bringing requires expert testimony for a design defect and expert testimony for causation, every one of the claims. And so if he does not have his design defect testimony from Dr. Lally, his claims fail. Alternatively, if he doesn't have his causation opinion from Dr. Lally, his claims fail. He doesn't have either, and his claims fail, and the court's grant of BMW's motion for summary judgment was proper. Excluding both the design defect opinions and the causation opinions were not an abuse of discretion. The totality of the factors that the district court has prescribed from the appellate courts and from your honors to apply in these cases, which practitioners such as myself implore them to do, because we all know that expert witnesses with impressive CVs and long education backgrounds are given undue weight and influence by jurors. And so the district court's gatekeeper function is of the utmost importance, and its application of the Daubert factors, the 702 standard, and the progeny from your honors is critical to make sure that qualified individuals aren't getting on the stand and providing unsupported and unreliable testimony that could unduly influence a jury. And Chief Judge Brimmer did exactly what is prescribed of him in this instance. He's provided great latitude to apply his discretion to use those factors. It's not set in stone. It is a flexible standard. And he made the conclusions properly with identifiable justifications and reasons that the design defect opinion was excluded and unreliable, and that the causation opinion was unreliable and didn't meet the 702 threshold and the Daubert factors. And that
Let's
was
turn to the third opinion that Dr. Lally could not testify as to BMW's intent in terms of why they designed the jack the way they did. Seems to me the district court's opinion flies in the face of our decision in United States versus Schneider, where we said the rules do not prevent an expert from drawing conclusions about intent, so long as the expert does not profess to actually know the defendant's intent. So by looking at this jack as compared to other jacks and looking at that it was designed to be smaller and lighter, the expert here, Mr. Lally or Dr. Lally, said, you know, I'm looking at this and I infer from that they were trying to reduce space and cost. Why isn't that okay?
Well, so there's two components to that. And the first is that Mr. Fisher doesn't contend that the district court's exclusion of Dr. Lally's opinion regarding the intent of BMW was unsupported, that he was unqualified to provide that opinion. But to your point, Your Honor, without the intent dynamic, the opinion has no relevance. There is nothing, there is no benefit that that Dr. Lally coming in and providing an opinion regarding general design principles can apply to this case absent a connection or an inference to the intent of BMW. And I don't think he can make one without the other. He can't say this was the design regression, this was a cost-saving mechanism, this was a weight-saving decision. And what he is inferring, what he would presumably say is, and thereby sacrificing safety. And that was what BMW was doing when it chose to design a sleeker and smaller jack. The two are interchangeable. The district court's exclusion of that opinion was proper and was an abuse of discretion. And Mr. Fisher's argument that Dr. Lally can walk that fine line, I don't believe is persuasive. And so the granting of the motion for summary judgment was proper. And it was proper in this case because without the design defect and without the causation opinion, Mr. Fisher can't meet the elements of the claims he has brought against BMW.
Let me ask you a question about the amicus brief. I have a little bit of a concern with respect to that brief because amicus briefs are supposed to be filed by a disinterested party. And this brief appears to be authored by Lee Mikus, who served as BMW's counsel earlier in this litigation. Isn't that something the court should have been notified of?
I think that's an appropriate position for Your Honor to take. BMW had no involvement in the amicus brief or the drafting and or filing of the amicus brief or what was contained in the amicus brief. So that information was elicited, as I could see, from the back and forth filings from the amicus brief originally and Mr. Fisher's response. But it is not. There is no dispute that Mr. Mikus was co-counsel in this matter previously.
Okay. Thank you.
And if there are no additional questions, I will yield the remainder of my time, but I'm happy to answer any questions from this panel and conclude just briefly with the request that the district court's orders be affirmed in their entirety and the motion for summary judgment being granted be affirmed as well.
Very well. I see no further questions. And Ms. Fisher, you have some rebuttal time remaining.
Thank you, Your Honor. There are three quick points I would like to address. Excuse me, I've been sick. The first is with respect to BMW's argument that this court can affirm on alternative grounds that the motion for summary judgment was essentially proper because there are no material questions of disputed fact. I would remind the court that although permitted, it is disfavored. It puts the appellate court in the position of looking at the record to decide whether there are disputed material facts or not. And I would submit that there are, which would have made a motion for summary judgment on alternative grounds improper. The second point is with respect to the causation or Dr. Lally's lack of identifying alternative causes. I would submit that that's not required in this instance by the case law, and that it was not improper for him to rule out all other potential causes of the jack failure. And last, with respect to the design opinion, BMW essentially makes the argument that that Dr. Lally is trying to walk a line and without an intent opinion that it's irrelevant. But I would submit that that's not the case because if permitted to testify with respect to his opinion, there are internal BMW documents that would fill in any missing elements. And so if I may, I realize I'm out of town. I would ask the court to reverse the district court opinion as requested in the opening brief.
Thank you, counsel, for your helpful arguments. The case is submitted and the court will stand in recess until November 15th, beginning of the November term. Thank you.